You are now listening to Productivity Boss Moves with Robert Price. For more, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO. Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, Productivity Coach Robert Price, and it's just me and you today. So no co-host for today, but I'm still here and I'm still excited about what we're getting ready to embark on with this show for the rest of the month of August. And into September, we're simply going to be dealing with productivity as it relates to learning and education. I thought it would be a good time to really dive off into a series like that with school in some parts of the world already being in session. Over on the East Coast, a lot of places still haven't got started yet, start in September, but wanted to keep this going for, like I said, the rest of August and into September so that people who listen, who are in, you know, learning environments, whether you're in school or you're just, you know, involved in a lot of self-education, these principles will apply both ways. And so I'm really excited about this material that we're going to dive into for the coming weeks, because I believe it'll be a really it will really be a game changer in terms of the efficiency of your learning, increasing that. So I'm just really excited about that. But before I go into the subject for today, and by the way, the title this week, it's called Five Ways to Ensure What You Learn Leads to You Taking Action. So just real quick, there's so many times when we learn a bunch of stuff, we maybe listen to a bunch of podcasts, read a bunch of books, in a lot of personal development, personal growth type spaces where we're constantly taking in content. And, you know, for me, I would say, you know, I had an issue with taking in so much stuff and not being able to convert on that material nearly at the pace that, you know, I feel like it's a healthy pace for the amount of content I was taking in. And so for many of you, you may find yourself in that position where you're listening to a lot of material, you're reading a lot, and, you know, you just find yourself not taking action on a lot of the things that you're coming across. So this episode is going to help you to take action and really eliminate being a consumer versus you being a producer. So anyways, just really quickly, I want to give a shout out to my dad, who just turned 50, and we had a big celebration this past weekend for him. And it was exciting because we had family come from all over, from Texas, from North Carolina, Delaware, New Jersey. Everybody came. We were at this really nice park in Delaware. I think it's called Lum's Pond. But it was really nice, the experience. But let me tell you, so the reason I'm bringing this up for the podcast is a lot of things came up that we had talked about previously in the top three debates I like to have before we get started with the material. But while we were there, first of all, the top three meats that I love, those were available. The ribs, they were fabulous. The chicken, barbecue chicken. I didn't have a cheeseburger, but they had, because the caterers, they had some really amazing fried fish that I got instead. But before anyone goes judging me, you know, I definitely had a lot of salad with on my plate, with the meats and baked beans and, you know, other things we had going on. I was happy about the choices, and I didn't have a hot dog, for the record, so I could have more space for what I really enjoyed. But also, it brought up another thing we talked about in terms of, you know, one of my favorite activities to do when family gets together is play kickball. And in terms of playing kickball, I set up the bases because I was in charge of the activities and, you know, I put everything out. And because this is just a lesson for if you plan an event that's not necessarily like a multi-day family reunion or something like that, but you have family who haven't seen each other in a long time getting together, they're not really caring about your kickball game that you're trying to set up because they just want to talk and greet each other and spend time with each other. So that's what mainly occurred. You know, some people broke off into like some spades games and, you know, different smaller group type stuff. But yeah, no one was really checking for the kickball. But it was really nice weather, really, really nice event. So just once again, shout out to you, Dad, for your 50th birthday. Thanks for all you do, and you're an amazing dad. So let's dive into the content. So today we're talking about five ways to ensure what you learn leads to you taking action. Okay, so this week we don't have an acronym just because I couldn't make it make sense with the points I had. I'm just going to share those points with you. And number one, the first point is take concentrated notes. So one of the issues that I have with, you know, consuming a lot of content was that, you know, I was taking a lot of notes on my phone or, you know, other electronic devices I had. And the problem with that is that even though it's very convenient and you can carry it around, it was, you know, everything is in my phone, you know, so literally when I take notes in my phone, it just disappears into the abyss of the rest of the notes and everything else I have in my phone. And not to mention, if I'm on my phone taking notes, there's notifications coming in, there's text messages, you know, social media notifications, other things going on where I'm not really locking into that subject matter as much as I could be because of everything that's involved in being on my phone. Even if I cut my notifications off, as I'm scrolling through my phone, there's just apps that just speak to me. They say, hey, click on me, just check it real quick. You know, there's a lot of just checks, and those just checks can turn into a half an hour or longer period of time where, you know, you're not concentrating on the subject matter that you may be taking in at that time. So taking concentrated notes, what I mean by that is I literally have a separate notebook for, you know, all of the important subjects that I learn. So, it's something that I did in school, but I didn't do it as an adult, but I realized, you know, when you're taking like literally handwritten notes, you are, how can I say this? You can't write as fast as you can type. So you retaining the information is easier to do based on writing things down, because you can't write as fast. So you only grab the important stuff, and you know, you writing it down actually reinforces it into your system in a different way than, you know, kind of typing fast does. And so the number one reason for this is the, you know, eliminating those distractions. But number two, it's actually, there's some statistics out there that prove that you taking physical handwritten notes helps you to retain information better than typing your notes. So that's point number one. And a few different notebooks that I have, like separate notebooks that I have. I have one for like spiritual development. So whenever I'm at, you know, church or doing anything ministry related, you know, I have a notebook for that. I have a notebook for market research. So for this podcast, whatever articles I'm reading on productivity, books I'm reading, other podcasts that I'm listening to dealing with productivity, all that, those notes go in that particular space. And so whenever I get stuck and I'm like, you know, it hasn't really happened, but I'm sure over the life of doing this podcast, it will, you know, happen where, you know, I'm like, wow, what am I going to talk about, you know, this week or this day? And that just is a wealth of information that I can sift through and start to get my creative juices flowing based on it all being in one place. So market research, and then I have another notebook for like personal development coaching calls. So those are just some of the separate notebooks I have. But take number one, take concentrated notes. Number two, schedule review time. So schedule review time. This reminds me of a time when I was going through coaching with real estate. And I remember as I was going through this coaching, one of the things I did, my appointment was on Tuesdays at 11. That was my weekly appointment with my coach. And then at 11:30, we were done. So what I did was I scheduled, okay, 11 to 11:30 is the coaching session. So my review time for the information that I'll receive during that session, I'm going to schedule that from 11:30 to 12. So literally, because there's sometimes we take an information and it's like, boom, as soon as that coaching call is over, or as soon as that information intake is over, we throw that notebook somewhere or put our phones down wherever we're using to take notes, and then we forget about it until the next time where we have to do that again. And it's like, you know, maybe we do a little bit of time before a review, but you really don't derive the benefit that you were supposed to get out of that session by taking that approach. So literally, I would schedule time right after. And I know sometimes some situations you're not able to actually, you know, review the information right after, depending on the time sensitivity of what you have to do next, especially if you're someone like you're in school and you have another class right after the class you just took. So I understand that. But as much as you can, try to schedule that review time to as close to the time of that class or that information that you're taking in, so that it's fresh in your mind and you can, you know, derive a greater benefit from it. And the thing about it is, like, so here's one of the hacks that I use, especially, you know, just to make sure I stay on the side of being a producer versus a consumer, just consuming information all the time. So if you have an hour scheduled for reading, right? Or 30 minutes. I mean, it works either way. let's just say 30 minutes. I don't want to overwhelm people. But let's say you have 30 minutes scheduled for reading. My suggestion is that you actually cut that reading time down to 15 minutes, and then you give yourself the other 15 minutes to come up with a plan on how you're going to apply what you just read. Because I guarantee you, the person who reads for 30 minutes and has no time for review, just kind of reads and goes on to their life, yeah, they might gather more information, but it's not knowledge that's power only. It's applied knowledge that's power. So literally, if you read 12 books, but you only apply one of the books, compared to if I read 3 books, but based on my system of learning, I apply each of those books, I'm further along in life than you are in terms of learning, because the 3 books I read, even though I only got through 3, those 3 books are working and present in my life, whereas the out of the 12 books you read, maybe only the one is sticking. And so that's just a good hack for you. If you have 30 minutes to read, maybe, but you didn't, but you don't, you're not used to reviewing material at some point, then maybe you want to split that in half. Maybe, okay, let me do 15 minutes of reading and 15 minutes for review. So number three is determine how you will use the material. Again, determine how you will use the material. So one of the things, especially when it comes to self-education, is information is great. Statistics are great. Like, you know, finding out really cool facts, awesome. However, how are you going to apply it? Like, how are you going to use this material to in your life? And here's the thing, not all parts of the material you may be able to use, or maybe you even want to use. That's why, you know, at some points and, you know, throughout these series, I've given you a boss move of determine what is the one thing that you'll take away and apply. Because I know, you know, if I'm listening to a podcast or I'm reading a book, there may be, you know, 6 or 7 principles that the person shares, but I might look at it and say, you know what, but these 2, I know I can implement this and it could become a habit in my life. So that's what you need to do with the notes. In that review time, you need to determine, okay, what part of these notes can I actually apply to my life where it will help me move towards my goals? The question, it's always great to ask yourself a question, and a good question to ask yourself is, how can I use this? How can I use this? And once you figure that out, then you can you can write that down, or at least star that item. Hey, here, they said to start, I don't know, drinking water in the morning, like the last episode we talked about, drinking water. So here's how I can apply it. I can get, you know, all the water that I'm going to drink in the morning in one bag, and I'll take it with me to work to make sure that I, you know, I can follow through on drinking that. Whatever you need to do, but that's that step number 3. Number 4 is you're going to identify why you must use the information. So this step is really important, because I think we overlook this a lot, because we're taking a material and it's like, the more we take in, the more we realize, like, you know, we have to prioritize what's really important and you know, why we must use that material. But a good example I'll use for a place I failed, really, my wife and I, we were going over the five love languages, and in us going over this, well, really not going over the material in the book, but just going over what our assessment, you know, says that our language is. And it's funny, I should mention this right now, but I haven't really met a husband since I've been talking about the five love languages. I haven't really met a husband whose top love language isn't touch. Because it's funny, because mine was never touch prior to being married, but now that I'm married, all of a sudden touch is number one. But I think that's hilarious. Every husband I ever talked to, they're like, yep, my number one is touch, physical touch. But anyhow, we were going over these, the five love languages. And in doing so, I was able to find out, you know, what my wife's top two were. Hers is like quality time and acts of service. Ironically, I'm like, so you want me to spend time with you and wash the dishes? So I have to figure that out. You know, okay, so let me. You know, I don't know, maybe can you stand next to me while I wash the dishes? We just have to figure that out. But anyways, so we were going over this, and what we did was we used this scoring system, and I'll actually put the link to the five love language assessment in the show notes as well. But we did this scoring system that we learned from another assessment. We was like, you have to rank where you felt like the person was meeting your needs in that area from a score from 3 to -3. And I thought this scoring system was pretty cool because, quite frankly, you could be in the negative in that area. So if we did 1 through 5, you might end up with the 2, but innately, a 2 is still positive. So sometimes, you know, your bank account, hopefully it's in the black, but maybe, you know, there's a time or two where you end up in the red. And we need to know that, you know, in the relationships. But the point I'm making is I never actually stopped to answer the question, why must I use this information? Because what we were going to do, our application, our takeaway was, we're going to review this once a month to assess where we felt like each other was on our top two love languages, how we were meeting that need. And we didn't continue with it after the first couple of months. And I believe it's because we didn't face that question of why must we use the information? Because the thing about it is, if I think about the consequences of not reviewing that information and not making sure that I'm meeting those needs and she's meeting my needs, like, what could that lead to? If the person is not meeting, if a spouse is not meeting their spouse's needs, you know, it could lead to a D word that I won't say because I don't use it in my marriage, so I'm not going to use it here, but it could lead to that because even though people don't go into, you know, marriage with that idea that this could happen, but the reality is the consequences, if I don't apply this information, is that, you know, it could lead to that. Or going back to what we talked about last week, you know, if you don't drink water or if you don't take those deep breaths and things of that nature, it could lead to you still being stressed and, you know, mentally not wanting to really be in a state of where you're thriving. So that's number four. Identify why you must use the information. Number five is, this is the final one, but commit to when you will do it. So just quite simply, it's either lock it into your calendar as an appointment, whatever that follow-up thing is, whatever that action item thing is that you decide. So either lock it into your calendar as an appointment in terms of when you'll do it, or set a reminder for when you want to remember to do it. So it may not be something that requires a 30-minute appointment per se, but it's something that you want to remember to do at a certain time. And it may be quick, lock this particular door, turn off this particular light. I don't know what it is, but you want to remember to do that at that time, and you set a reminder to do it. But what happens is, when you do either one of those things with the action item that you come up with, you put it into a pocket that actually exists in your life, versus saying, oh yeah, I know I have to do this. And if you just stack thing after thing after thing that on top of each other that you know you just have to do, typically most of that stuff, if any, in some circumstances, actually get done. So, these are apps that I don't even have to share. We all have these apps on our phones, the calendar and the reminder application. So that's number five. And then I have a bonus for you. So this is number six. If you're like, man, these things sound great, I really, my heart is there, I really want to apply it, but you're like, deep down in your heart, I'm probably not gonna apply this information. Here's what I want you to do. This is the bonus. Share it with someone else that can hold you accountable. And so kind of going back to that example that I talked about with my wife, and that's going to be my thing for this week. But, going back and having a conversation about, hey, we said this was important, this is what we were going to do on a monthly basis. It's my fault that we haven't continued with it, because I was the one who brought it up and, wanted to implement it. So I want to share it with you just so that you can, put it on your calendar as to when we are supposed to talk about this again. So that now it's not just on me and in my head. Now it's a partnership where when this time comes up, you can bring it up. Hey, we're supposed to talk about the love languages. It just popped up in the calendar. And then now we can, address it. And now it's a partner that is holding me accountable versus it just being based on me. So that's something that you can do with whatever it is that you're learning, that you're like, man, I really need to learn this marketing stuff or this social media stuff to grow my business or whatever it is. Then you need to have someone that is holding you accountable on that stuff. So just real quick, just a real quick review of, these five ways to ensure what you learn leads to you taking action. Number one is take concentrated notes. So in other words, have a separate notebook for your most important subjects. Number two, schedule review time. That's so important to make sure the action that you're going to spring into action at some point on what you learn. Number three, determine how you will use the material by, asking that question. How can I use this? Number four, identify why you must use the information. What's the thing that's going to drive you? What's that motivation that's going to click on your heart to spring you into action on that? And number five, commit to when you will do it. So either lock it into your calendar as an appointment or set a reminder for when you want to remember to do it. And then the bonus I just gave you, share it with someone else that can hold you accountable. So that's the first part in the series. Next week, we're going to be talking about the best way to study that will minimize cramming. So all you students out there, any form, you definitely don't want to miss that, especially you high school and college students. Let's get to the boss move of the week. So here's the boss move of the week. Establish a separate notebook at least for the top three subjects you spend the most time learning. Again, establish a separate notebook at least for the top three subjects you spend the most time learning. So you may have more subjects than that, but I'm just asking if you can separate those subjects into three different notebooks, especially for you self-education people, because it's kind of natural to do that in school. Maybe, I don't know, maybe not nowadays. Maybe no one writes in notebooks anymore. Maybe it's all on the iPad or the iPhone or whatever. But I believe that one hack has been the biggest game changer in my ability to convert the material that I'm learning, that I'm consuming into action. So that does it for today. I appreciate you spending this time with me. It's a little different today. It's just me. But I had fun sharing this material with you. And, you know, I appreciate you guys, you know, tuning in and listening. Grateful for each one of you. And, you know, I hope that this material is making a difference in your life. And if it is, just please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or any format that you're listening on, Spotify, Overcast, any platform you're listening on. That will be greatly appreciated. And again, remember, it's not enough to dream. We must do something about it. Everyone have an amazing, productive week.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Productivity Boss Moves. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or just want to say hello, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO. If you haven't done so already, please take a minute and leave a quick rating and review of this show on Apple Podcasts. It will help me to keep delivering life-changing information for you every week.